We're in lesson 49, a dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And as we study through that, remember last lesson 48, as we went down through chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, we saw a young lady that went after the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, she asked the Lord to heal her daughter. And if you saw that, you saw the fact the Lord Jesus Christ did not respond to her immediately, did he? And that sounds, to me, when I see that, and I've been taught about Lord Jesus Christ all my life, that he's love and he's passion and he's all that, but yet he did not respond to that lady. Why? What did you find out last week? She was a Gentile lady. And as God in his dispensation of the kingdom under the law system, if you will, when he came to his own. So when he came to his own, Israel and the Gentiles, if you will, was still separated. They were still a wall between the Gentiles and all. But as we read down through there, we saw also that she understood her position with the nation Israel. And verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then also he said, verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, what was the Lord Jesus Christ doing with the nation Israel before the Gentiles could be fed? They had to be filled, right? They had to be fed with the Word of God. They had to understand who, what, and where he's doing in the dispensation there. So that's why he could not take his food and cast it to a bunch of Gentiles. He had to feed the nation Israel first. She understood that position, didn't she? That to me, that is an advantage and a disadvantage. And we shared that last week. But this week we're picking up on verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed, chapter 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. Now, what do you know about the book of Matthew and the mountains? Kingdoms, okay? He's going in authority. But what the book of Matthew represents Jesus Christ as? King. So whenever he goes up on a mountain, that's authority. And over he does that in the book of Matthew. Verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Now, before we read about the blind, the lame, and the dumb, now here's a bunch of more people. You know, that before was a three-miracle thing. This is what? One, two, three, four, and many others. At least five or six other elements and illnesses that these people have. And he healed them. Insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to behold and lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, over and over from this time, has he not been healing people? Has he not been touching people and speaking the word of God and things has been changing in their life? But they wonder. But what about that last four words? God glorified the God of Israel. When Lord Jesus Christ is healing the nation Israel there, God is being what? Glorified. He's glorified in the healing. Isn't that what he's supposed to be doing? Yeah. And Jesus provide once again his remnant. It's raiment. He's saying, I am faithful to provide. He's saying, I promised if Israel will get right, I'll take care of you and I will provide a remnant of people. That's his promise. But we know from the promise in times past with the nation Israel, they did not believe God and take him at his word. They went, if you don't mind me saying this, whoring after other gods. And therefore, they became apostated and believing whatever they wanted to believe. So when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up on this earth, they did not recognize who? Who he was as God. And that's sad. You think he'd come today. Many people would not recognize him today, would they? They would not. If he come today, I'm out of here. No, that's my hope. But anyway, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes because they continue with me now 3 days and nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in their way. Now, what did he do about the Gentile women? Woman back there, he sent her away. But now he has compassion on the multitudes, the nation, not the nation leaders, but the nations coming to him being healed. He has compassion for them. So he does have compassion for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, if you will. Verse 33, and the disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to be filled so great a multitude? You know, I still scratch my head about this. Now, who is Lord Jesus Christ? And he's also, they're going to be their king. Would not a king provide for his people? If you're a good king, you would, wouldn't you? Did he not provide for them over and over and over up to this point? And they wonder about the bread. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? There's a question there. And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he said, verse 35, and he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground. Does this sound familiar? Didn't he do it before? Hello? Yes? Stay with me here. He sat on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. So here he is, the king, giving it to his servants, if you will. And the servants are giving it to who? The multitudes. There's a structure there. And there always is a structure in God's program, even today, that you go through. He fed 5,000 before. That's why I asked you, does that sound familiar? And now he's going to feed how many? 4,000. Look at verse 37 and 38. And they did all eat and were filled. Now, you got to keep that in mind there. And he took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they did eat, were 4,000 men besides women and children. Plenty of crumbs. There you go. Now you're seeing a picture here because who's filled? You got to look at that very carefully because they ate and were filled. Now, who's they? The body of Christ? Israel. That's his program in times past, the nation Israel. And if you have your timeline, that the fact that if you open or close, and if you're listening on the highway today, don't open the chart. You know, pull over or visit our website. And you can, you know, see the chart there. But that timeline represents the true nation Israel. And God was dealing with the nation Israel, and in times past, everybody else was down here. Amen? That's what the Word of God teaches. I believe it. That settles it. But they were filled. What did he tell them? The woman had no place before the Gentiles would bless. That's what he said over the Gentile woman, right? She had no position in that program unless she was down here. The children had to be filled. And they were filled, and now they were 7 baskets full left over. After feeding of 5,000, they were 12 baskets full left over, 1 for what? Each tribe. See, they had plenty. When he fed that 5,000, they was 12 baskets full. Each tribe had their own basket. Here, the 7 baskets full after feeding 4,000. Now, what do you know about 4 in the Bible? What does 4 in the Bible represents? The Trinity? The 4 playoff teams that's going to be at the... It's not Green Bay, you know. What? Not the 4 Gospels. 4 means... Come on now. Think. What is it, Ted? Gentiles or the earth. It represents the earth, the world, the 4 corners of the earth. That's what it means, okay? 4 represents the earth. What does 7 mean? Perfection or completeness, okay? So here he feeds 4,000 and he has 7 baskets over. He's saying, hey, I'm taking care of the world. That's his intentions now. He's not focused on that nation as the religious leaders. He's focused on the people that will follow him. So they gather up all those seven baskets full, and they gather up complete provisions for all the need of the world. That's awesome to me. Because his program is sure. His program is going to be completed just like he started over there. God does not lie, does he? And we should not make him out to be a liar and contradiction his word and not be able to take it. The children are fed and the crumbs and fragments are left over, like Brother J.J. said. There's plenty of provisions now. Once after they fed, the children, the Christ was telling the little flock, once again, forget the apostate nation. It's my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Forget the rulers and the Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm going to take care of you. And over, it's still in the back of my mind like, they didn't get it, did they? As we continue to go through, you know why? If I had a king to follow personally, hey, I wouldn't have to do nothing myself. I'm just going to let you do it all. In the dispensation of grace, with the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ, does he still not do it all for you? Have you ever tried to do something on your own and fail miserably? And then you crawl back to God? Boy, I have all my life. But when you understand that God has provided everything through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the dispensation of grace spiritually and physically, you got it, don't you? Don't you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Don't you know by now that you can present yourself and live the way you are in heaven or can be in heaven today on this earth? I don't know about you, but I do. I take that to heart. But he tells a little, forget that apostate nation. The leaders, the Pharisees, the traditionalists are going into a ditch. That's where they're heading, aren't they? They're going off the wrong exit ramp. He's called them. He says, I called out my people. I'm going to keep my promises. My purpose is going to be fulfilled. Amen? He says, I'm the one that makes the provision for my people. Now, who's his people? The nation Israel. Are you part of his people, according to this book of Matthew? You're down here on the bottom, Gentiles. You don't come along till 2,000 years later. He says, my little flock are going to be fed, and the overage is going to be sufficient to needs of all the world. Now, we talked about the world in a sense. Is it talking about the green, green grass of home out here? World is his people. God so loved the world. That's what he gave his son for. And he fed in that world out there. There's a system out there, a government system out there that he loved so much that he died for. And those people are there and he's feeding them. And it's going to be sufficient. Excuse me. Verse 39. And he sent away the multitudes and he took ship and came into the coast of, what's that word? Magdala. Here he is again. He's getting back in the ship. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about they're getting the 12 was in a ship, and they rode all night, getting nowhere but halfway across the Sea of Galilee. It's only a 9-mile stretch.
You rode 9 miles.
Well, I think I would get a little bit further. See, you know, I'm in shape, brother. That's why I joined the gym down here. But anyway. Over and over and over again, Matthew clearly teaches and paints a picture for us that Christ was the Messiah. And he is the Messiah for the nation Israel. The problem with Israel was what? What was the problem with the nation Israel? What? Over and over, it's a heart condition. It was unbelief. And that's what hindered the nation Israel. God was faithful to keep his promises, even in the face of unbelief. He was still faithful. Calling out his people, that faithful remnant for whom God will make a perfect provision for. You know, today, in the dispensation of grace with the body of Christ, not the nation Israel, you know, God has made a perfect provision for all of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about salvation this morning. You know, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that perfect salvation is in Him. He made a provision for all people, not just that little remnant. And a lot of people don't. You know, over and over and over, you can turn this on and turn that on, and they distort the gospel, and they don't believe. They believe it's scriptural, right? Can you not pull anything out of that scriptural and you can believe it? But the key is understanding the Word of God, dispensational. They're having been filled and will take the blessings out of the nations and have plenty to meet all their needs. He's showing them. And once again, what do we understand about from Matthew 10 to this point? What is He instructing the 12 to do? He's instructing them to understand and how to provide themselves in His what? Kingdom. Not only the kingdom, but in His absence. He's going to tell them, hey, I'm going to die, and I'm going to leave you. And this is what's going to happen, and this is exactly what's going to happen over here in this tribulation period. That's why if you really believe the book of Matthew and understand it dispensationally, you'll see that only the Israel and the people that's left behind, if you will, are going to the tribulation period, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts for anybody in the body of Christ to go there. He's not talking to you and I. He's providing that little flock and who they're going to be leading how to withstand this time period over here. And you know what? He's going to provide for them. Did He not provide for Moses? Did He not? Yes, He did. And you know what? Everything that's going to take place right here is exactly what's going to take place over here. I love the fact that how many people have been in plays? You know, been on stages and acting and stuff. You still are, but I'm just jokingly. But anyway, did you not rehearse? Or did you just take that and walk right up there and, Romeo, Romeo, where art thou? You learned, you dress rehearsed, didn't you? You know that's what that is over here? It's a dress rehearsal. What happened over there is going to take place over here. And you know they have the Word of God. And there are going to be people that believe the Word of God and understand what God is doing in that dispensation of kingdom. And pick it right up where you and I are today in the dispensation of grace and understand this message. A lot of people ain't going to be ignorant like you and I was at one time. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. The Pharisees also, here we go again, going right back. They cannot leave Lord Jesus Christ alone. They're over and over coming after Him. Also with the Sadducees came and tempting desire Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. Well, wait a minute now. What did you learn about Matthew about the kingdom of heaven? Would that not be a sign from heaven? Would that not be something that come from heaven? You know, Matthew's only books that says that, kingdom of heaven. Would not a leader understood that He is God, He's come from heaven, we got the signs, He's lame is leaping, the blind is seeing, the dumb is speaking, they're being fed, and all this stuff is being provided for us. Should you not, if you was a leader then, should you not have recognized that?
Should have.
Should have. Well, I know one Pharisee did, finally, Nick. Nicodemus, didn't he? He believed God. He came to Him, He said, hey, you know, and later on, was he not at the tomb? So there's one Pharisee. But once again, the leaders of the nation Israel are the one that's leading the people. God has a government system out there that He started way back there. And it's today there's a government structure. And ages to come, there's a government structure. It's about authority. That's what your whole theme of the Bible is about. And verse 2. He answered and said unto them, What is evening? Ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! Ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Ooh. You know anybody out there today that looks for signs? I'm not talking about exit signs, you know, or eat at Joe's. I like those kind of signs. But look, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. You ever heard that saying? I say it all the time. Red sky at morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Who said that first? They've been saying that forever. And chapter 16 is a continuation of the Lord backing away from the believing, unbelieving nation of Israel. And in these verses we just read, the Lord rebukes the religious leaders and departs from them. He don't want nothing to do with them. Because over and over and over, where's his focus at now? The little flock. He's teaching that 12 and those people that's following. It's, to me, it's just not 12 people. You know, a lot of them had wives, didn't they? Peter did. Despite of, you know, popular belief, Peter had that. And who, sir?
He had a mother-in-law.
He had a mother-in-law, too. He focused, continues on the grooming and teaching and preparing the little flock to the function of his absence. That's his focus. The Pharisees and Sadducees are two opposing religious fractions. And today, however, do you know any opposing religious fractions out there?
Many.
Some say 30-some thousands. There's hundreds of Bibles out there. Hundreds of fractions opposing the will of God. And they come against the Word of God. Listen, I know we got a radio broadcast. And I'm very thankful that people come and listen to it. The one that can, we'd like to hear from you. But there's people on us, before us and after us, that they distort the message of God.
Yeah. And they're supposed to be a religious station, a Christian station. Yet they put...
But hold on 1 second. The thing is about what we're learning here today is the fact that why and what God has done with the little flock and how he's continuing to leave the nation Israel, the apostate nation Israel. Let's go to Matthew 5 through 10. Matthew chapter 16, verses 5. Before we go there, you see that who's looking for a sign now? Doesn't Paul talk about who require, Jews require a sign? Why would they require a sign?
Go way back.
Go way back. Because
he told them that they're supposed to look for a sign.
Okay. But where was the first signs of the Bible ever recorded? You say Jesus, you say Moses? You remember back here Moses, and he stuck his little hand in there and it came out withered? And he stuck it back in there, it was like a baby? And then his staff turned into a... So that's the very first two signs ever recorded in the Bible. And when they saw that and saw their leader doing that, they was like, God is with us. And every time God didn't show them a sign, guess what they thought?
It wasn't with them.
The pillar of smoke, pillar of fire, is that right? Those are signs. And when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, he is God, Son. He is a king in the book of Matthew. And he's showing them all these signs, and they're still looking for a sign. And what did he say? I'm going back to verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now let me ask you something. What generation?
The one that was speaking.
But generation could be what, 20, 40, 60, 100? That goes back a long way. And if you're looking for a sign today to show who Jesus Christ is, can I point you to one? The cross. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 or 1. Chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, are you a part of that us? If you trust Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again, there's a power in that message of that cross, isn't there?
Amen.
And you know what that power is?
Resurrection.
Salvation, resurrection. It takes you from death to life. There's no other power on this earth. There's no other sign on this earth that you can trust in that has the power of God that brings death to life. And I listen to radio stuff, preachers. I watch TV commercials. And a lot of them say, repent, be baptized. And a lot of them say, take this bread for eternal life. You know, I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm just pointing out the obvious. Now look at verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing to the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where are they, guys? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? Now how does he make foolishness the wisdom of this world? Aren't they... people out there every day going to schools, secular or even some of these Christian schools, they will teach you the wisdom of this world. Ever learning. For after the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Now, what's going to save people today? A sign? What's the next verse? For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, did we just learn something about these big religious leaders out there looking for a sign from heaven? You know, people today are still looking for a sign from heaven. Do you not know that you have the Word of God, or can the Word of God be found, and you can understand it and understand what God is doing? And the next verse says, but we... that includes you and I. Not just the preachers up here. You have a responsibility, don't you? We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greek wisdom. So if you're looking for a sign today, foolishness. Thank you. If you're looking for a sign today, there's one that was over, if you want to say 1969 years, if you want to say 2,000 years ago, that God Almighty put on this earth, didn't he? And it's a sign of the cross. And it's that preaching that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again is what changes people's life. And then you get in the Word of God. And to understand the Word of God is through right division. That's the key. That does not save you. Right division does not save you. It points you to understanding of what God is doing. Because it seems like there's hundreds of plans out there for salvation, don't they? But there's only one. That Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Father, we do thank you for the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.